Welcome to Master Your Relationship Mind Drama, teaching you how to manage your mind so that you can create relationships you love. And now, here's your host, certified relationship coach and expert in all things love, friendship, and mind drama, Rebecca Orr.
Hi guys, how is everyone doing? Can you believe how close we are to Christmas? It is insane. I feel like the last year has just gone so fast and I'm so excited. I am actually off to Cologne next week to the German market, so that will be amazing. I cannot wait. I'm going with my fiance and my mom, so that'll be really cute. And then I'm going to have some time off for Christmas and see family and friends, which will be really nice, and I'm really excited for that. And of course, early in the new year, I will be opening doors to the next round of my 12-week group coaching program, Master Your Relationship Mind Drama. So I will tell you a little bit more about that at the end, so be sure to stick around if that's something that you want to know more about. But for this episode, I wanted to talk about six key mindset shifts that we need to make to feel secure in our relationships and to create security in our relationships. And as I go through these, you may recognize which ones your brain has more trouble with than maybe some of the others. And that's okay. Our brains are all unique and different things sit differently to different people. Different things trigger different people. So just notice what comes up for you and use these prompts and what comes up as helpful signposts for where you may have unhelpful beliefs to challenge and to help you see where your work is to create more security. Okay, let's dive in. Number one is other people do not create my feelings. This is a big one and one that we all struggle with. And don't worry, I forget it all the time as well. Even though I teach that our circumstances don't create our feelings, somehow my brain always forgets and tells me that other people are making me feel terrible. And when my brain does tell me that, it's just important that I bring myself back to this truth, which is it's always my thoughts that create the way I feel. But as humans, we tend to believe that it's other people, that other people and circumstances outside of us are responsible for the way we feel. So if we're around our friends and we feel insecure, it's because they made us feel insecure. Or if we feel anxious about our partner's behavior, it's because their behavior created that emotion in our body. But if you've listened to my podcast for a while now, you will know that is never true. What creates our emotions 100% of the time is our own brain activity. So our brain's thoughts. Now, hear me when I say, this does not mean that you are to blame when you feel negatively. And that's because there is no question of blame here. You're not to blame for feeling negative emotion. Blame implies something has gone wrong and that someone needs to be held responsible. So if we're not blaming them, we're going to blame you. But when you feel a negative emotion, nothing has actually gone wrong and no one needs to be blamed, because negative emotions aren't bad and they aren't errors that are taking place in your body that shouldn't be there. They are normal parts of being a human being with a human brain. So we're not blaming you for having a human brain that creates negative emotions sometimes. That's normal and to be expected, and remembering that is really important here. I'm also not saying that you should aim to never feel negatively. Sometimes we want to feel negative emotion. You know, if I notice a man in a mask walking up my driveway towards my front door, my brain will likely say, he might be trying to break in, and then I will feel the emotion of anxiety. It's my brain creating that anxiety. It's creating that emotion in my body. It's coming from my brain, but that's okay. It doesn't mean something's gone wrong. My brain is just doing its job. It's having a human brain response. But in a lot of situations, it's really important for us to understand this idea that it is our brains creating our emotions so that we can get curious about the thoughts that are actually responsible. Because when we aren't doing that and we're believing that our friends or our partners make us anxious, we feel very powerless and stuck. We feel like we need them to change in order for us to feel better, and often we can't change them. We can't make them text us back faster, or we can't make them do things differently. So then we think we're stuck feeling insecure and anxious. But when we can recognize, oh, actually, every time I feel insecure or anxious, it's because of brain activity. It's because of sentences going through my brain, thoughts that I am having. then we have a way to do something about it. You can get curious about what those thoughts are and challenge them. For example, if you believe that your partner makes you feel anxious when he doesn't text you back for a few hours, you can start to look at why that is. What does your brain make that mean? Why does that scare you? What thoughts do you have about that? Maybe you make it mean he doesn't care about you, or that if he cared about you more, he'd be texting you back faster. You can then challenge that interpretation. Is that really true? Is that the thought you really want to have about this? How might that not actually be the case? Is there evidence that suggests he does in fact care, even though he sometimes isn't able to text you back? And I'll give you an example from one of my one-on-one clients too. She would often feel anxious and insecure every time her partner brought up their ex. So they'd mention places they'd been together or things that had happened in their relationship. And she didn't know why she felt so bothered by it. She knew that her partner was over their ex and was totally committed to her. So she didn't understand why she felt so insecure when the ex casually came up in conversation. And when we looked at her thoughts about this, she realized it's because she kept having the thought that the ex was better than her in some way. And once she uncovered that, she could then stop blaming her partner for making her feel bad and really get to work on challenging this belief she had about herself. Because when you know that circumstances don't create your emotions, you can take a step back and look at the facts of a situation and decide how you want to think and feel about them on purpose, which means you can create feelings of security regardless of what other people are doing. And this is really important, especially with anxiety, because whenever we're afraid of something happening in the future, whenever we're anxious about something that may or may not happen, it's because of how we imagine we'll feel if that thing takes place, if that thing happens. Our brains are afraid of and resistant to the emotion it predicts we'll have. So understanding what creates that emotion and what would be responsible for that emotion if that thing ever happened is really, really useful, because it means we can plan ahead of time how we want to think and feel about things in the future. We can decide on purpose what we want to choose to believe about ourselves, even if our partner cheats, or even if our partner lies, or what we want to think about our ability at work, even if we don't get that promotion, or even if the presentation doesn't go as well as we wanted, whatever it might be. We can decide ahead of time how we want to think and feel, and that gives us that control back. Number two is other people's behavior is a reflection of their brain and not me. This is such an important one. In our relationships, when we believe that we are responsible for making other people happy or upset, or whether they like us or don't like us or how they respond to us, we feel incredibly insecure a lot of the time, because we begin to believe other people being angry at us or rejecting us is a reflection of our worth and value or our goodness or enoughness in some way. But just like your emotions are created by your brain, so are theirs. You don't actually create their emotions, ever. Even their positive emotion. You don't make them feel love for you, and you don't make them feel hate for you. Even if their thoughts are about you, now that sounds strange, but stay with me. That doesn't mean that you created those thoughts. And this is something I teach my clients in my one-on-one and my group program, which is the idea that you are a neutral circumstance in everyone else's model. Now, if you have no idea what the model is, that's okay. It's a tool that I learned from one of my amazing teachers, Brooke Castillo. And I use it in my sessions, and it outlines how in every situation, there's the circumstance, which is the facts of a situation. Then there's our thoughts. So our brain has thoughts about those facts, those sentences in our minds. And those thoughts create our emotions, the way we feel. And those feelings then drive the way we act, our actions, and our actions, of course, create our results. So those are the five lines of the model: the circumstance, thoughts, feelings, actions, result. So when I say you're a neutral circumstance, what I mean is you are just a circumstance in other people's models for other people's brains to have thoughts about, which means different people's brains could have totally different responses to you. So whether someone rejects you or accepts you is actually not about you, but about their unique brain and its unique thoughts, not your worth and value as a person. Or if someone is mad at you for something you did, that's because of their thoughts about what you did, someone else could have had totally different thoughts about that thing and thought it was fine. And I always use the example of Taylor Swift when I talk about this with clients. I don't know why. I love Taylor Swift. Those are my thoughts about her, that she's great. But some people have the thought about Taylor Swift that she's overrated and they feel a bit annoyed. And then their action is to moan about how often she's played on the radio and roll their eyes whenever anyone talks about her. That'd be their actions. So Taylor Swift is a neutral circumstance in their model. Their thought is that she's overrated. Other people have the circumstance of Taylor Swift in their model and her music, and their thoughts are she is amazing. She's the best singer and songwriter that there has ever been. Totally different thoughts, totally different reactions, same circumstance, same Taylor Swift. And when we can really understand this, we can stop taking responsibility for other people's behaviour. So many of my clients are so afraid of their partners cheating or lying because of what they've decided it would mean about them. But when we really work on this idea that they don't create whether their partner is faithful or not, and that this has nothing to do with their value as a partner or their attractiveness or their personality, and that it's all down to their partner's brain and its unique thoughts, they feel like they can let go of trying to control it and stop being so afraid of it. They can stop being so afraid of their partner's free will. Which brings me to number 3. I am 100% worthy and valuable. And I've added a little add-on here, which is, even when I ... because for so many of us, we can believe on some level that we are worthy and valuable until we make a mistake at work, or until we get rejected by someone that we've been dating, or until someone is mad at us. And I think all humans struggle with this to some degree. We're all trying to work out where we stand and feel safe in our okayness and enoughness as a human. I really think that internal struggle is the most human thing, the most human experience on this planet. And we really have to consider, how do we even measure worth and value and enoughness? When I ask my clients this, most of the time they shrug and they have no idea. And that's the thing, we have no idea how we can measure or define it because it isn't tangible. It doesn't exist. Even how do I know if I'm attractive enough? There's no way of knowing that. There's just no way to define that or measure it. It's completely made up. Enoughness and worth and value is a made up thing created by us as humans. There's no trees out there wondering if they're good enough. My cat definitely doesn't spend her days debating her enoughness or worth and value on a daily basis. She isn't wondering whether she's been kind enough to people today to earn her good enoughness, or whether she's done enough for others, or whether she's been productive enough. In fact, she probably does the opposite. She probably thinks she's above the rest of us, if anything. But it's human brains that have decided that this thing exists, and then we spend our lives trying to debate it. And we find different ways. Some of us think that it's the money in our bank accounts that creates our good enoughness. For others, it's our looks, or maybe our weight, or what our body looks like. For others, it's if we're in a romantic relationship or not, if we're being chosen by someone, or if we're married, or we have children, or if we have a certain number of friends, or if we get a promotion, or we win an award or something. There's so many different ways we try and prove our enoughness and earn our worth and value. And I remember a coach using an amazing metaphor once, and I can't remember the name of the coach, but she said, imagine that your enoughness and worth and value was locked in a box. It was set at 100% and it was just locked away in a locked box, and nothing you could do could add to that enoughness or take away from it. So if you lost weight or made more money, that wouldn't add any more enoughness into the box. You couldn't add to it. It wouldn't make you more worthy and valuable. And if you made a mistake, or you got fired, or your partner asked for a divorce, that couldn't take away any of the worth and value. It couldn't make you any less valuable because that is locked in that box, always at 100%. And I really loved that idea that we are all 100% worthy and valuable humans, and that we are all good enough. We are all imperfect and flawed. And I think for most of my clients, it's this piece that's so important. Because when they're feeling insecure in their relationships and they're afraid of their friends being mad at them or their partner leaving or whatever it is, what they're usually afraid of is what they'd then make that mean about themselves, how they'd believe that that would mean something about them and their enoughness. So challenging that and overcoming that thought process is such an important step on the way to creating security. Number 4 is, the world is an abundant place. Now, for a lot of my clients, the reason they feel so insecure in their relationships is because they're operating from a scarcity mindset. They believe that if their partner breaks up with them or cheats, they'll never find another great relationship or find another partner that they could connect with in the same way. They believe if their friend falls out with them, they couldn't make more or be okay again. And when we really look at the facts, the actual data of the universe, the world is not short of people. There are billions and billions of people on the planet. And yes, not all of them would be what you're looking for in terms of a partner or a friend. I get that. But you don't need billions or even millions or even thousands of friends or partners, or even hundreds. You just need some. Maybe one partner or maybe a few if you're polyamorous. And however many friends that you'd like to have and connect with. But our brains will fill us with these scarcity stories that there isn't enough good people, that meeting people is hard and that there's no one out there for us. And when we believe these stories, we show up scared and insecure in our relationships. We try to cling to our relationships really tightly and often in ways that don't serve us. Which is why believing that there are so many amazing, interesting people out there for us to connect with is so important. Because if you believe that if your relationship or friendship ended, you could totally go and find another amazing human to connect with, you wouldn't feel so afraid throughout your current relationship. You could let go of the pressure of trying to control it and trust that whatever happens and however it pans out, you will be okay. And that is 100% true, by the way, that the world is an abundant place. And if right now your experience is that there isn't enough amazing people or you can't connect with people the way you want to, I want you to really reflect on why that is and how your beliefs may be creating your results there. When you believe there's not many great partners or friends, how do you feel? And then how do you tend to show up to finding them and creating those relationships? When we believe there isn't enough out there, we don't create more of it. You may have heard people say that lack just creates more lack. So shifting to an abundance mindset and finding the truth of that within yourself is so, so powerful. Okay, number 5, negative emotions are not emergencies. This is a big one because so many of us are walking around and responding to the vibrations of negative emotions in our bodies as if they're huge emergencies and creating so, so much unnecessary suffering and drama in our lives, especially with anxiety, which is often the emotion that a lot of my clients will struggle with the most. They feel anxiety in their body and their instinct reaction is to freak out and resist it or immediately react to it or try and make it go away. And when we have this kind of relationship with our emotions, we will always feel controlled by them. When we think that our negative emotions are urgent and need our urgent attention, we'll constantly be reacting and showing up to our lives in ways that we don't really like, that don't feel intentional. But in reality, emotions are just vibrations and sensations in your body, created by sentences in your mind and by your brain activity. That's all they are. Brain activity creates emotions. Emotions aren't created by external things, which means a lot of the time, 99% of the time, your emotions don't actually require instant action. There are exceptions, of course. The whole point of anxiety is to keep us safe. So if you're walking down the street and a car swerves towards you, your brain will flood your body with anxiety to help you get out of the way as fast as you can. We need that response and it's a survival response. We need to urgently react to that anxiety. But 9 times out of 10 in modern day society, we're not actually facing a life-threatening circumstance. And our brains are sending us the alarm of anxiety when we've just got a slightly blunt text message or an email from our boss, neither of which are life-threatening or require your instant reaction. And you may really relate to this, that when something triggers you, your brain just goes into a spin and spirals out of control. And you maybe even try to rationalize it, and it just feels pointless, like you can't control your thinking there. And this is why the emotion side of this work is just as important as the thought work side. Because we have to change the way we respond to these sensations in our bodies and how we soothe our nervous systems and feel our emotions and change what we make the appearance of negative emotion mean. We have to remind ourselves that we are safe and that those are just sensations created by our brains, that nothing has gone wrong, and really feel those sensations without resisting them so that they can move through us. And one of the big things I teach my clients in coaching is how to respond to their emotions and triggers differently and in a way that serves them. And I teach them how to allow and process the sensations of emotions in their body before they respond. And what this allows them to do is then calm their nervous system down and challenge their thinking so that they can then choose how they want to show up and think about the situation more intentionally. Because negative emotions are not signs that something is actually wrong. They're signs of thoughts in your brain. And remember, your brain says a lot of shit. Simply because it's a human brain, it's going to say a lot of unhelpful things to you. It's going to make assumptions, it's going to jump to conclusions, and it's always looking for evidence to prove your unhelpful beliefs true. So it will jump to thoughts that prove your insecurities and create anxiety, even if the thoughts are totally untrue. And that's probably one of the best things I ever realized, was just how full of shit my brain was. And I don't need to be mad at my brain or myself for that. I can just recognize that not every sentence in my brain is true, and not every sentence is useful. And I can allow the emotions that those sentences create without believing that they mean something or take them as universal truths. I can just notice them and challenge them and then choose how I want to think on purpose instead. Okay, final one. No matter what happens, I can handle it. This one is really, really powerful. And I actually had a final call with one of my one-on-one clients, and she was reflecting on this belief for herself and how this has helped with her own brain. And anxiety tends to have one clear message for us, and that if that thing happens, you can't handle it. If they cheat, you can't handle it. If they leave you, you can't handle it. If you get sick, if you lose your job, if you don't get that promotion, you can't handle it. And when we're afraid of that thing happening in the future, like I said before, it's always because of the emotions we'll imagine we'll have if that thing happens. And we often doubt our ability to handle those emotions and face that situation. Maybe you've decided that if that thing happens, it'll mean something terrible about you and then you'll feel shame. And then your brain doubts your capability to handle that shame, to experience that emotion. So for every scary what-if thought that you have, everything you're afraid of happening in the future, I want you to consider, what if you knew you could handle it? What if your brain was actually totally underestimating your ability to handle that situation? How might it be true that you could face it? What would you want to think and feel intentionally if it happened? What would you want to make it mean about you? And what would you want to make it mean about your future? And we talk about this a lot in my group coaching program, Master Your Relationship Mind Drama. And that's the idea of self-certainty. And we create self-certainty when we believe, one, that we can choose how we think about any situation. So we can choose what we make things mean about us and what we make things mean about our future and our future happiness. And two, that we can handle any emotion. That we can handle pain and sadness and grief and shame or embarrassment. We can feel those sensations in our bodies and survive them and move through them. And we can trust ourselves to do that without being afraid of them. And those two things really are the key to self-certainty. Because when we can't be certain about what other people will say or do, how our relationships will unfold, or what the world has in store for us, we can be certain in ourselves, in our abilities to manage our own minds and choose our thoughts on purpose, and our ability to handle our negative emotions. And that is it, guys. Those are the six key mindset shifts for security. So reflect on those and really consider where your brain might need some work on some of these and which beliefs maybe are holding you back right now. And that is all I have got for you this week. And as I said earlier in the episode, the next round of my group coaching program, Master Your Relationship Mind Drama, is going to be opening its doors the first week of January. And this is where you'll be able to learn all about the tools and concepts I discuss on this podcast, but on a much deeper level. And you're going to learn how to actually apply them to your own unique situations and manage your own unique brain. And it's such an amazing program and such a supportive place to learn and grow, surrounded by people with similar brains to yours, doing the exact same work and working on the exact same beliefs. So in order to make sure you don't miss out, you're going to want to go and get yourself on the waitlist. So I'll drop the link with all the details and the FAQs included, and of course the link to the waitlist in the information section of this episode. So definitely go and check that out. And let's make 2024 the year you finally master your relationship mind drama. And finally, can I ask that you do a little something for me? Could you go ahead and give the podcast a rating on whatever platform it is you're listening from? This is how I can keep reaching more and more people and spreading the word of this work. Okay, guys, have an amazing weekend and I'll speak to you all next week. Bye.
If you're loving this podcast, you can also hang out with Rebecca on Instagram and TikTok at Rebecca Orr Coaching. Don't forget to sign up to her email list for exclusive freebies and for more information on her one-to-one and group coaching programs.